Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, please. We continue in our study of this great book, verse by verse. Hebrews 11. Bulletin is a little outline of our study this morning. If you only come to Valley Christian Church or any church because of the preacher, then the preacher has not done a good job. I trust that you come here because of the Word of God. And we are faithful at this church to the Word of God. Now, I counted up this week, and I have over 1,200 sermons that I've preached at Valley in 24 years. And so I thought, well, I'll just pick some of my favorites, maybe do David's top 10 from now till March. But I can't read my writing. Or I know the elders are taking a risk in allowing me to preach until March. Because a lot of preachers, when they are leaving, especially after a long time, they use that time to express all their gripes. I've got a whole list. I'll save those. No, I'm kidding. Or to say everything they wanted to say didn't get said. But I tell you what, we're just going to continue and go through the book of Hebrews. And I counted up and figured that we can finish by March 1st, the book of Hebrews, with a little Christmas in there. So we will be faithful to God's word. Let's pray. God, we open your word like we do daily in our lives, like we do every Sunday, and we study your word verse by verse. To explain it, to ask your Holy Spirit to be the teacher, to guide us to understand beyond just information, but how it translates into our real life. Thank you for the privilege we have to open it and study it again and again and again. We ask your forgiveness when we don't do what it says. But use this time this morning to encourage us, to correct us if that's what's needed, to continue to grant us hope because you're in charge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in chapter 11 is by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Example after example after example. The righteous will live by faith, the prophet Habakkuk said. And the writer of Hebrews quoted that passage in chapter 10. Last week I told you that I was going to tell you how you can do whatever you want. Is that good news? Can you do whatever you want? Yes. How many were here last week? Where were you if you said no? Can you do whatever you want? A mature Christian can do whatever they want. You say, well, that sounds worldly to me. Yes, but a mature Christian, the more you grow and love God and Christ, you want what? You want what God wants. Later in the chapter, Moses forsake all of Egypt because of Christ. He didn't have to leave Egypt. He didn't have to forsake his upbringing in Pharaoh's courts. But he chose because Christ is better. And that's you and me, isn't it? We can do what we want because now as we grow in Christ, we want what Christ wants. Now make sure it's not just what you want. Make sure it's what Christ wants. Abraham lived by faith. He did what God wanted. He had plenty of problems. He didn't always perfectly obey God. Abel worshipped in faith. We studied Abel. Enoch walked in faith. Noah obeyed in faith. And Abraham. He is the classic example of faith. And you and I, if we put our faith in Christ, we are Abraham's descendants in faith. So we look at several things about Abraham's faith. And last week we looked at verse 10. Verse 8. By faith, when Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and did what? Remember that the way that is a participle, which means nothing to us, but it means As he was being called, he got ready. In Abraham's mind, he was on his way when called. It was a pilgrimage, not to Chimayo, not to Tome Hill, but he was on his way. Obedient. It was not Abraham's plan to move to Canaan, to leave his homeland. You remember, where was he from? No, spit it out. Ur. How do you spell Ur? You are. Ur. He was from Ur. He was a pagan. His family worshipped false gods. It was God's plan. God knew where he was going. He did not know where he was going. But when he was called, he was on his way. Are you on a pilgrimage? Of course you are. You have been called in Christ to leave your old way of life. It is a journey. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. To hold on to our oldness, what's the Bible word for that? Worldliness. What's worldliness? Worldliness is not so much what you do as much as what you would like to do. Oh, I would never do that. What would people think of me? I would never do that. Look at the consequences. I would never do that. I've got to put on a good image. But really, secretly, you know, I might like to. That's worldliness. An attitude of, I want to do what the world wants me to do. But holiness, which we are called to on our pilgrimage, is to be separate, set apart for God. So which is it, worldliness in your life or holiness? See, you can't serve two masters. You can't love two women. Haven't you heard that great theological country western song? Trying to love two women is like what? Ball and chain. You can't say, I want to be worldly and be holy. God doesn't mix the two. God doesn't bring people along in holiness who are still holding on to the old. We are on a pilgrimage. We don't love the world. We love God. Like Abraham, like Moses, Christ is better, isn't he? Than anything the world has to offer. So we trust God. And we want, as we grow in Christ, we want what God wants. Not what we want, but what God wants. So in that sense, as you mature in Christ, you can do what you want. As long as it is what God wants. Let's move on. The patience of faith. Don't you love that word patience? You don't look too excited about the word patience. How many of you ever prayed for patience? How many of you want patience in your life? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. How many of you want it right now? What does God seem to always do when you pray for patience? He brings stuff, makes you wait. He brings stuff into your life that to develop the patience. We don't like that. We want patience, but we don't want it to be developed. We want it microwaved. Well, look at verse 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect, builder, designer, and builder is God. Yes, the Christian life is a pilgrimage. However, there's patience along the way. You say, I didn't come to church to hear about I need patience. I came to hear about how I can have it all right now. Abraham was willing to give up his country, his friends, his house, every comfort, even his pagan religion, everything in his life on the pilgrimage. But usually in the pilgrimage, there's a waiting period. Notice he lived in what? That sounds exciting. Let's go camping. That's not the idea here. Even in Abraham's day, that was the nomad way of life, the traveler way of life. Even in his day, his time, his place, a tent was not considered a permanent residence. How many of you live in tents? How many have occasionally lived in a tent? What's the most you've lived in a tent? A year? A week? That took a lot of patience. You know, we can put up with it for a week, but he lived his whole life as a stranger. And not only Abraham, but his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob and all of his family lived in tents. Even when they got to the promised land, think of it. God had promised Abraham way back in Genesis, you'll be the father of a great nation. I will make you all nations blessed by you. You're going to get the promised land. That was part of the promise of God. And he finally gets there. And what does he live in? A tent. Well, God, what are you doing here? Even when he got to the promised land, he never settled down in it. None of those great patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, never owned a piece of land in the promised land. Now, wait a minute. That would take some patience, wouldn't it? Never owned a piece of land except by faith. They were in the land. They saw the land, but the promise in their lifetime was never fulfilled. They lived like strangers, aliens, not from Roswell, not UFO aliens, but a stranger. They lived in a country that was not their country. Everything was in sight, but they didn't own it. So they had to live by what? By faith. You know, when's the hardest times in your life? Usually in those in-between times. Well, God promised. When we don't have what God promised, what do? I heard gripe. We gripe. We complain. We are tempted even to gripe not only to one another, we gripe to God. We say to God, promises, promises, God. You promised. God, it's been a long time. I see in your word, you promised this. When's it going to happen? Takes patience. How long does it take to develop patience in your life? How many of you would consider yourself patient people? One hand, two hands, three. Okay, the rest of us are going to pick on you for the next week. It's sort of like humility, isn't it? How many of you think you're humble? If you're humble, you're probably not. If you think you're humble, you probably don't say, I'm a humble person. Look at me. Promises, promises, God. I've waited a long time. Abraham waited how long for a son? And he's been promised he would be the father of a great nation. I don't have any kids. Finally, God fulfilled that. But all along, in spite of Abraham's faults, he knew God was faithful. Think of it this way. If you knew that Jesus was returning in a month, how would you spend the next month? If I could prove to you that Jesus was returning 1 month from today, how would you live the next month? It would be really easy. We think it would. We would give full attention to what? We would give full attention to our sin in our life, getting rid of it. Full attention to the Word of God. We would be praying. We would be witnessing. We would be serving. You know, if we only had to do it for a whole month, that would be, we could do that. But to be faithful to God month after month, year after year, decade after decade, that takes patience. William Carey was a missionary to India. William Carey spent 35 years serving in India. After 35 years, he only had a handful of converts to Christ. Yet every missionary who's ever gone to India since William Carey owes a debt to him. He planted so others could reap the harvest. He translated the scriptures into most Indian dialects. So every missionary since him that's ever gone to India bases their work on his pioneer work. Most of the fruit of his labor he only saw by faith. But he was faithful. James, the brother of Jesus, says in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, "Be patient then, brothers." That's a good verse to memorize. Let's just memorize that first, the first four words. Repeat after me. Be patient then, brothers, and your sisters too, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble, he says, against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. In those in-between times, in our lives, either we develop godly character, patience, or we begin to grumble. It's usually one or the other. And you say, well, at least the farmer sees the crop in a few months. I've been promised by God this. When is it going to happen? You know, it is discouraging to pray, to work hard, and see little results, isn't it? A mom may pray for her son to come to Christ and never realize it in her lifetime. It may not even happen. Ministers serve in churches for years. Where's the evidence of spiritual growth? Noah preached and built an ark for how many years? 120 years. So what? Is God faithful or not? Yes. True faith is deaf. True faith is deaf to doubt. True faith is dumb to discouragement. And true faith is blind to impossibility. Yes, there are seasons of discouragement in our lives. But where are we looking? At God? Do we see that God, what He promises, God is trustworthy. God is faithful. Now, let me ask you this. What's the secret of patience? What's the secret? How do you become a patient person? Obviously, none of us know. Because we're not always that patient. How many of you could write a book? Well, everything I've learned about how to develop a patient person, you can be patient like me. That's a tough one. Uh, I'm going to give you a secret from Scripture. The secret to developing patience in our lives is to be like Abraham. His hope was in the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises. He saw the end, the whole story. Look at verse 8 and 9. 9 and 10. By faith he made his home in a promise. He lived in tents. He was looking forward to the city whose foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Where was Abraham looking? It would have been easy for Abraham. A tent? God, we've been living in this. Mrs. Abraham's getting tired of this tent. We live in the desert. You can't dust this place. When are you going to build a house, Abraham? Well, I don't have any land to build a house on. Patient. But that's not what he was looking at. Even if Abraham had possessed Canaan, the promised land, in his lifetime, that would not have been his ultimate inheritance. Did you catch that? That's not what he was looking forward to. As important as the earthly promise was the earth, the land, and to God's promise, Abraham looked forward to heaven, the real building of God. And he knew, without a doubt, without fail, he would inherit that. Let me ask you this. What are you looking at? What discourages you the most? Why do you get mad at God? Why do you gripe and grumble if God doesn't do what you want Him to do this week? Where are you looking? See, Abraham, like we should be, heavenly minded. You know, people say, well, you Christians, you are so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You heard that statement? Really, unless you're heavenly minded, you can't be any earthly good. Abraham was focused on heaven, the ultimate. And only those who have patience to continue to trust God, when you don't see the fulfillment right now, when it's not in your hand, when life is hard, when you work hard, when you maybe even feel unappreciated, when it seems like there's no end to this, where are you looking? There is no greater cure for discouragement. I mean, how many of us have been discouraged? There's no greater cure for fatigue. How many of us have been tired? There's no greater cure for self-pity. How many of us have self-pitied? You know, that's a party nobody wants to come to, a pity party. But there's no greater cure for all of that selfishness than to think of being in the presence of the Lord one day and spending eternity with Him. Make no apology for being heavenly minded. You know, when you and I concentrate on the things down here, then we live or we die by those things. We get bummed out. We get discouraged. We're going to quit doing this. We're going to walk away. Gripe, gripe, gripe. Well, where are you looking? The things down here. We live and die by those things if that's our focus, by everything that goes wrong. It seems to last too long. When's it going to be over? I've been faithful for 5 days now, God. Come on. Or maybe we look at the other side, the successes of this world. Maybe we feel appreciated. Maybe we don't. Where are we looking? That's why Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on where you're going. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to lunch. No, where are you going? When our mind is on heaven, we can be patient with things down here. I tell you, if you are not a patient person, or you're not getting more patient, that tells you something you need to correct in your life. What are you looking at? You know, people get upset when you say, well, God wins. That's the bottom line. We're going to heaven. You say, well, oh, things are bad. Really? Okay. What's the worst that could happen? Well, I might lose my job. Okay, then what? Well, then I wouldn't have any food. Okay, then what? Well, I might die. Okay, then what? I don't mean that callous. That's not really good to encourage people that way. But then what is really the bottom line, isn't it? That's what Abraham was looking at. When our mind is in heaven, we can be patient with things down here. And if we look at our trials and our troubles and our struggles, or even the positive, we look at our money and our fame and our pleasures, we become absorbed with those things. We lose our focus. So focus on what is eternal and still be useful down here. Where's the city? There in verse 10. The city, the foundations. What city? Can you put that in your GPS and find it? You know, heaven is called many things in Scripture. It's often called the city. One of the most encouraging descriptions of heaven. Ezekiel 48:35. You know what Ezekiel 48:35 says? The Lord is there. Why do you want to go to heaven? The Lord is there. Of all the things that are beautiful and exciting and inviting about heaven, the Lord is there. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness with those stubborn, gripey people. Remember? And that must have been a tough time in Moses' life. Taking Israel from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. Those were 40 demanding years on his life. But you know, the 40 previous years were probably the hardest for Moses. As far as patience was considered. Because what did he do those 40 years before the 40 years? He was in the wilderness. Now think of that. Moses had been educated and trained in Pharaoh's court. Moses had been treated as a son of Pharaoh. He was forced to flee into the wilderness, and for 40 years he tended sheep for his father-in-law. How do you think he felt? I would imagine that he was tempted to think, well, God, all this training is wasted. God, look at my abilities. Look at my talent. Look at my training. It's just going to waste. But look at verse 27 of Hebrews 11. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Where was he looking? God. Like Abraham, Moses' eyes were on God, not on his circumstances. Well, we're going to finish Abraham next week and look at the power and the positiveness and the proof of his faith. Hey, don't miss it. His body, that's a great phrase. His body, as good as dead, had kids. And Sarah, that old woman, there's no doubt that Abraham is held up in Scripture as the greatest example of faith. If you and I had lived in the Old Testament times, if we were Old Testament people, do you think your name would be in Hebrews 11? Would you be considered a friend of God? Are you like Abraham, patient, trusting God? Are you looking forward not to what you can hold, but the ultimate? And just think of this. You know a lot more than Abraham did. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for this great example. A man that we've studied and we know of his many, many faults. But you called him your friend. Thank you that by faith we are his descendants, as we're told in Galatians. That our faith, you consider us with all of our sin by your grace as righteous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.